You have Nighttime Economy, the podcast from 24 Hour Nation. My name is Randall White. This podcast episode is the result of a serendipitous encounter on social media. I'll explain once I get underway. But what caught my attention is a surprising blip of discrimination that has begun to appear on the diverse and inclusive radar of nighttime and cultural economies. Imagine being an artist and someone looking at you as if you're too old to be an artist anymore. In this episode of Nighttime Economy, we speak with high-profile Berlin DJ Tanith. He will not only school me a bit on techno dance music, he will also tell the tale of hearing someone tell him, "You're the last of the old ones." Our topic is ageism at night. More specifically, age discrimination in the world of techno music, DJs, and dance culture. Here's Tanith. Given the audience for the Nighttime Economy podcast, before we get into the topic that caught my attention, I wanted to give listeners some context. First, tell us about EDM, electronic dance music, techno specifically.
I hate the word EDM because it's not what I connect techno to. Techno was there before, and EDM is like a commercial bastard, specific genres. So I have nothing to do with EDM. I think techno nowadays becomes kind of the new EDM, but right. That's what I don't like about it.
Okay, I totally get it. So what is techno? What makes techno the music it is when you started and compared to today?
Well, it's difficult to say when techno started, but the term techno came up end of the 90s. And for me, it evolved kind of out of industrial of the 80s, 90s, and of acid from the end 80s. From that on, we created something new, which was called techno, which got referred to Detroit. But I'm not the one who is like an evangelist of Detroit. I think it has so much roots. So you can't say it comes from this point or there as a starting point. And I was listening to, like, when you listen to Throbbing Gristle, Hot on the Heels of Love, was like techno in 1981. Or if you listen to Meat Beat Manifesto from the end of 80s, this was techno for me in 1989. But after a while, it became clear that the genre kind of split up into like breakbeat, techno, which is more like a four to the floor thing. And I must say, techno for me is like what for other people is jazz. There are so much parts of it and genres of it that each reference to each other. So it's like a big, big thing.
Right.
That where the normal listener would probably say it's all just oomph, oomph, oomph.
Right. But I listened to some of your tracks; they're really fantastic. But techno is kind of you're saying that techno is kind of the prevailing music right now in the club scene, but it's kind of parsed out a little bit into these other spins: drum and bass, dubstep, trance, whatever. But really, is techno now, like you said, become the new EDM?
And I hope not.
Okay, that's cool.
The thing is, techno was very commercial in the year like 1996, when the Love Parade here was like millions attended, and everything was blowing up after 96. 97, they had like club closings. They some magazines went bankrupt, and the big heydays were over for the first time. And now, after the pandemic, I can really understand why young people like techno, especially hard and aggressive techno, because through the pandemic, they had to sit inside and they got, I mean, I didn't expect that after a pandemic, a generation comes out and wants to swing to smooth house tracks or something. They need something to explode.
That
is techno.
Okay.
And that is the thing. It became mainstream again. Like throughout the the last 20 years, techno was accepted, got very cultural, and really branched out even into politics, like nighttime politics and stuff like that. But now a new generation comes in. they know a lot about techno because they have all these YouTube documentaries and everything. They know everything about it. But then you have like people who say, yeah, I like the 90s. I just heard Hathaway. And you say, like, that's not my 90s.
Right. Well, now, and you are considered, is this fair to say that you are considered really the first techno DJ and sort of a founder of the techno movement in Germany? Is that fair?
No, I was like, maybe I came from another angle. Others came from disco. Like, we had a Metropolia, which was high energy music for gay people. And they came into house and then involved into techno. And I came from industrial and punk and brought my roots into it. So, because as I said, I'm the first, but I wouldn't say I'm the first techno DJ because there were the Detroit guys who were probably first. There was other angles, like in Frankfurt, they had another definition of techno, which came from EBM, like Front 242, Nizza App, and stuff like that. And I mixed this also into my sets, but I would never say I was the first. I hate always things you were the first in something. It doesn't matter.
Okay, but you were very well known in Germany, and then particularly in the early 90s, you were a very popular DJ. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so a week ago, you posted on social media how ageism has crept into the profession now. And what does that mean to you? What's ageism mean to you, so that you and I share the same definition?
Ageism is a discrimination of elder people for me. And this crept up. My alarms rang a few times last year. The first time I recognized it was when I was playing at Tresor, and they had some very bad bookers there. And they said, you're too old, you're not playing here anymore. You're the one who played here longest. The others are already out. You can be proud that you are the last one of the old ones that plays here. And I was like, what is that? I mean, have you heard this in like jazz, blues, rock, that someone is here old? I mean, we can learn from each other. But the bookers are gone, and I'm playing still at Tresor. So, but this was the first time I really experienced something that ageism is existing. And in the last year, after the pandemic, I heard that it really didn't hit me, but I heard from other people like, why is this guy standing here behind the DJ booth? He's like over 50 years old. My girlfriend came to Berlin like 2 months ago and she can do it better. She should stand there. It's like, I mean, I can't understand it. It's youth.
You raise a good point, though. I mean, do we experience this in jazz? Do we experience this in other music forms? We don't. You know, we tend to kind of even elevate the artists who've been at play longer, not say things like, you are the last of the old ones. That's horrible. So how else? Well, and you particularly said, too, as is, people were coming out of the pandemic and the younger people were more energized by that. Are you encountering this kind of resistance from the audience, or where's it coming from? Where's the pushback coming from?
It comes from all angles. It comes from partly from the audience, but when I play out, I never experience something like that. Oh, this guy is so old behind the booth. Audience people tell me from other audience people that they are like kind of upset that old people are standing there, still standing there. But it's also with bookers, where I heard it didn't happen to me except this one time at the Tresor. It happened to me that DJs came to me and said, you know, I can't play in this club anymore because they say I'm too old now. They're 40. I mean, I'm 61. But they're 40 and they are now too old to play in this club. So it comes from bookers. It comes from audience. And what I wonder most about is, like, we have a very woke community. And we have, like, genderism, gay people, everything. We kind of throughout all isms.
Right.
And now this one ism that is kind of like a taboo, ageism, is creeping in.
Well, you would think that in this community that it is going to be incredibly inclusive. You go to clubs, you go to festivals. It's like everybody's welcome. But now you're seeing this new thing of service more, and you're seeing it more. Some of your colleagues are seeing it more, and I'm witnessing it more elsewhere in the whole nighttime scene, that if you hit a certain age, you're no longer as relevant. But as an artist, as a performer, your skills aren't any different. You're able to do the job just as well as everybody else, perhaps even better. But it's just this age thing. They're just looking up and they're looking at you, and they're seeing an older guy and saying, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
That's painful.
I can understand it in a way, because what I hear from promoters, they say the olders don't come anymore because they got through the pandemic, they got used to Netflix and don't go to clubs anymore. We have a younger generation now, and they want to have their own heroes. I kind of understand the point. But if we have like a quote of women, we have a quote of LGBTQ, whatever, we can also have a quote of like older people, where youngers can learn not the skills, but the attitude and all that what makes our culture should be in there. I always hate these breaks. Like you have also in techno or other sites, you have these breaks where everything was that was before is now bad, and the new thing is a great thing, and it comes back in 20 years.
When you posted your social media comment, it drew several comments from a lot of other people in the club scene. I'd like to share a couple of those comments and kind of get your feedback on it. Techno artist and producer Patrick DSP, who really kind of came to Berlin from Tehran, I think, he stated, ageism is the one, it reinforces something you just said, ageism is the one ism that most in dance music refuse to acknowledge. He goes on to say that in this day and age, more than ever, the scene needs the wisdom of those who have honed their skills to a knife's edge, his quote. And he added that ageism is something that the recent pandemic and the rise of the cult of personality has exacerbated. There's a lot there. Unpack that statement from Patrick DSP for me.
He's totally right. It surely has to do with the pandemic, because before you had it like the generations of the clubs were like flowing in and out, and now you have a break, like 2 years nothing, and a new generation comes in, and of course they want it hard, they have to stay in to like 2 years, and everything changed, and the olders are more often they softened. They don't understand this hard music, even if they're in the trends or so, they listen to the same kind of music, but now they're like more soft, and they don't understand what is happening there.
What is and the cult of personality reference that he makes? What's he referring
that's
to there?
The social media thing, because before, DJs were like persons who you found in a record store, record nerds. Better not eat, but get this record.
Right.
If you don't have enough money, you buy the record, not the food. These were the DJs before. And now you have like these pin-up DJs, kind of like young, trained, or even girls who look like models. And it's now more about the personality of the person or the image of the person than the music that they play. If you look at these masses of videos after every weekend on Instagram, you see these huge crowds where the first few rows maybe totally out of their minds, but you see rows just standing there, maybe with handies and stuff like that. That changed something. It's not about the music anymore. It's more about the idol that is standing there. For us, mostly the time the DJ, we had clubs here where you could see the DJ. Because the DJ was referenced, but not as a person. More the music taste was important, and not the personality of the DJ.
I think you're right. I
And that
think all of
changed.
the social media campaigns or whole profiles of various artists, I see festivals, and I know that somewhere down on that stage is a DJ spinning music, but I'm more enthralled by the entertainment value of the artificial intelligence images that are flying over my head and all that
Yeah.
kind of thing. You're saying that it's the experience, it's no longer about the DJ and the music, it's really about something else.
Yeah, it's more about image and personality. A DJ before was like a person, a lone fighter, kind of fighting for his music. And now you have these DJs which come with a press person, a social media manager, a photographer. They have a bunch of people around them which just make these 15-second videos for Instagram
Right.
and promote them through all the media.
You're talking about just being more authentic and getting back down to the music and enjoying and sharing the music and people buying into that. Is it different in the club scene as opposed to the festival scene? I mean, has the same thing happened at the club level? Is it more about the personality and the experience at the club level, or is that just
The
unique to
problem
festivals?
that clubs have is that they compete now with festivals. Before, it was a club was something where they nurtured new talents, and they had their resident DJs. And I remember times where the resident DJs were better than the big DJs they flew in, because the resident DJ was like the guy who knew the crowd and did everything, and the star DJ of the evening was accepted, but it was like nothing special or sometimes even bad.
Right, right.
And
Well,
that's
and
where the
also a
clubs
lot of the
were.
festivals, I guess, are now kind of corporate, international corporations that are basically producing these events. They can afford risk. They can, and the
It's getting
individual.
more and more, not only the multinational ones. Even if you're like in Europe in the summer, you have like every weekend you have a big festival, and to get the clubs full, you have to book the same DJs, and so the clubs have to pay the same fee as the festivals, or they try to get the same fee from the clubs, and this is bad for the clubs because the clubs can't do it by themselves. They get promoters who rent the place, and it's not a club anymore. It's like a club was like.
A
When I remember
venue.
Tijuana or Ewek or clubs like here, you met the same people, but it was always flowing. Some new people came in, some came out, but it was like a second home.
Well, and my understanding is though that in Germany, the clubs have a certain reverence. They're cultural venues. They're cultural part. They're part of the German culture, just like opera and symphony. I mean, doesn't it have that same weight? Whereas that's not the case anywhere else in the world. So is that being challenged through this all these changes as well? That kind of reverence for the club?
The clubs really suffer here, yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere I play, they say they have like 30% less audience than before the pandemic, which of course has also to do with the prices and inflation and everything. But on the other hand, I say if there's a festival every weekend,
Right. And those are
the
not cheap.
competition is way more than before.
Right. Now, artist, DJ and record label owner, originally from New York, but now also in from Brooklyn to Berlin. I love that. Adam X. He commented that if this generation doesn't like being with our generation, then they can always find or invent their own music. We are the generation that brought it to the people. What's your response to that kind of, this was our music, we're giving it to you, and now you're rejecting us that brought this music to you? How do you respond to that?
It's kind of right, but I wouldn't go that far because we were lucky because we had like a big white paper which there was nothing drawn on, and we could fill it with everything we wanted. And this time frame is not always there. It's not a time now to invent something new because it was the same like in the early 80s to the mid 80s. From the mid 80s on, everything was told. Story-wise, from the music, punk, post-punk, new wave, whatever, it was just a dead end kind of, and you had to wait like 2 or 3 years until acid came up or techno came up, and I think it's the same now. there is no idea which could say we're making something totally new. And
right.
A lot of youth, and I can understand that too, a lot of the youth is heralding the 90s because it was the most free time, especially in Germany with the downfall of the wall and everything. It was the best and freest time that we had here. Mm. So they're still referencing to the 90s, and they try to take that into the now, and they make their own version of it. That's okay for me. I don't think they should invent some their own music or something. They're making, that's the thing of this century up until now, there is nothing new, but always new combinations of the old or perfecting older styles. Kind
well,
of.
Well, you mentioned that too. You mentioned that in another post. I think another DJ, ATEC D&B out of New Orleans, said something about their turn. The young people think it's their turn and the old folks should get out of the way. And you made the comment, well, they're sampling all of our samples. I mean, the music bites we created, they're reusing today. It's like, there's no copyright on that. I mean, that you created this sample and now they're incorporating it into their work. How does that feel?
For me, it's okay because it's kind of like a compliment for what we accomplished. It's not like I would say it's forbidden. When we see in hip hop, sampling is a compliment to you. The same is for techno. If you have a great sound that still works today, it's a compliment. Right. I wouldn't say that you can take this if you don't let me in. It's
right.
It's a little bit harsh, I think.
What's a solution here, Tanith? What can be done without getting into, it seems like it's a difficult situation. We hear this across industries, to tell you the truth. The old guys need to get out of the way because it's our turn. And how do you deal with this without reversing ageism? Like, you young punks, shut up. You know, we were here. We created this. There's your gift. Stop whining. And then the younger folks looking at the olders and going, get out of the way. It's my turn. What's a solution here that doesn't involve reversed ageism in this whole techno scene?
I think we have to talk about like now to get a consciousness for it. Because I think a lot of people don't even recognize that they're discriminating with it and discriminating these people who invented the stuff. Yeah, you have to make it conscious for the leading people.
And objectively, I think the goal is to be able to continue to perform for the widest audience, not necessarily portion off you and other older artists into kind of like a senior hour. I mean, like in the UK right now, they're introducing daytime raves for people that don't want to go out at night. And I think some of that has to do with the resistance now to drinking and drugging among younger folks and the cost of going out at night. But you're not talking about let's do happy hour for olders.
No.
You're wanting to continue to be there in the mix of it. And you're suggesting that what we need to do is at least bring this into the consciousness of a wider audience.
Yeah.
Very cool. Why do you believe it's important to all of our nighttime and cultural economies, everything about what happens at night, whether it is the music scene or whether it is the bar scene or the restaurant scene or the arts and cultural scene, traditional arts scene, why do you think it's important that we address this attitude towards older talent?
Because if you want to be an inclusive society, we can't rule out one part of the society, whatever it is. It's not just ageism. It's the same with what we had before with blacks, with women, with gays, whatever. We can't make a new one up because we came over the others. I think it's dangerous to, especially to this generation that invented all this stuff. I mean, from handies to techno, whatever. We invented the stuff, and to tell them you don't have a place anymore here because we're using your stuff, but we don't want to have you here. That would be unfair, very discriminating and unfair. I know that a lot of people who are always doing the reverse ageism, like every generation does, the youth, they have no respect, blah, blah, blah. if you talk about a younger generation like that, that you get ageism back is a normal thing. But I think we should all come together and get together because we can learn and participate from each other.
We could, Tanith. Everyone could. Everywhere. Here's hoping that the club and festival scenes begin to look at and address age discrimination toward older people in the same beautiful way that they have smashed discrimination against other segments of the population. Perhaps the night will lead the way for the day. This has been Season 3, Episode 6 of Nighttime Economy, the 24-Hour Nation podcast. Visit our website at 24hournation.com and follow us on social media to discover more about the people, programs, and possibilities in cities at night. My name is Randall White.